Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
The Lord needs us, women. He needs us today. There is devastation in our land. There is destruction. There is desolation. God needs the mourning women, the skilled women, the women who have gone through something, who knows what it means to call out to the Lord, who knows what it means to wail. When we have death in our family, deaths in our churches, death in our community, in our nation, we need the mourning women, but not those that are paid or pretending, but who are truly willing to cry out for the people of God.
I'm Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. True Holiness Church of God in Christ is a church that truly believes that the Holy Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Our mission is to make disciples, and I'm so glad that you tuned in and decided to watch today's broadcast. My prayer is that what you hear today will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you nearer to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Good morning, family and friends. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And what we have to hear this morning is an evangelist, Evangelist Susan Lewis. She is also a teacher, and she is here for the equipping of the saints for ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all are able to come together in the unity of faith when Jesus returns. It is such a privilege to have her this morning. I want us to be mindful that in a world or in an age where people are boldly proclaiming false doctrine, things that go against what scripture says, and they're using their platforms to do so, we have a privilege to be in the presence of someone who's going to teach us the word of God according to scripture. I am a witness to how my mother studies the Bible to prepare for Sunday school, to prepare for Bible study. And so I am confident that what the Lord has given her for this morning will be what you need to hear. And if you would open up your hearts and your minds, I'm praying that God gives you the answer that you've been looking for, the deliverance you've been looking for, the way of healing that you've been looking for, the peace that you've been looking for, if you are open. I'm praying, like the song says, that every distraction is eliminated, both technology-wise and both at home. So open up your hearts, open up your minds, and be ready to receive the word of God from the woman of God, my mother, missionary Susan Lewis.
Amen. Thank you, Kalanda, for that introduction. I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, to each of you in your respective places. And if you would, just for a moment, let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come to this place, Lord God, to worship and to praise your holy name, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, comes to me and through me, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, may hear what you want them to hear this morning. I thank you, God, for being with us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that no one leaves this place, Lord God, in the way that they came. These blessings, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. I also like to just give honor to our pastor this morning for his allowing us to share a word from the Lord. And this morning, because it's, you know, I want to get us prepared for what the Lord is saying to us. The background information may be a little lengthy, but you know, I tried to cut it down as much as I possibly could. However, it's like, you know, this is what, you know, the Lord has given me. And I didn't just start this, you know, this week. I've been listening to the Lord and just, you know, praying to what the Lord wanted me to say for, you know, at least a month. So I asked you to just pray with me and, you know, that the Lord says something to you this morning. We're going to be coming from the book of Jeremiah this morning. So first of all, I want to just share with you a little bit about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah, a priest in the line of Abiathar. And because Jeremiah was raised in a Levitical tribe, he had high regard for the law of the Lord, and he understood the importance of the temple and the priesthood. His calling was planned by God prior to his birth. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So before Jeremiah was even born, the Lord had already put his stamp of approval on him and what he wanted Jeremiah to do. He began serving his prophetic ministry in the 13th year of the godly King Josiah's reign. He served as both a priest and a prophet. His assignment, he carried out a ministry directly most to his own people in the land of Judah, but expanded to other nations at times. Because of the type of assignment that Jeremiah had, he was forbidden to marry. The Lord didn't want anything to hinder him from preaching his judgment. So Jeremiah wasn't able to marry. He was called or known as the weeping prophet and a prophet of doom. His personal sorrow sometimes over the messages that he had to give, it was a conflict. He was torn. And because of the messages that he had to give, he often wept so much to it was unparalleled to anyone's weeping except the man of sorrow, who we know is Jesus Christ. But he was just that torn, that moved, that concern of the messages that he had to give to God's people. As I said, he was a prophet of doom. So his messages weren't favorable. They weren't talking about prosperity and peace, but they were a message of judgment because of the people's sin. He was dedicated to God, and his fervent love for God and God's people never changed. It never diminished despite what he had to do. So after the death of King Josiah, Judah's apostasy resurfaced. The kings that followed King Josiah were his sons, but they weren't godly kings. They turned away from God. Unfortunately, Israel turned away from God also. And because of their sin, God told Jeremiah to warn Israel of their impending calamity. In the scriptures to follow, God compares Israel's behavior during that time of that of a person in a marriage who has left their marriage to form relationships with other people, or in this case, with other nations. In Israel's ordained relationship with God, God made all the provisions that Israel needed. You know, everything they needed, it was provided for them. But somehow they were drawn away by their own lust. They forgot that God had brought them through Egypt, had brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness. The priests turned against God. The prophets began worshiping Baal, and even the judges ignored God. God longed for that relationship with Israel that he had as a first love. You remember when you have your first love, how much it means to you, how you can't wait to talk to them, how you can't wait to commune to them, with them, meet with them. God longed for that from Israel. But because of the sin that they had committed, it warranted divorce. But of course, God was willing to take back this fallen Israel if they would just repent. In Jeremiah 9, beginning at verse 12, it says, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness that none passes through. So here it is, the question is coming up as to why is this happening? You know, what the land is, you know, why is the judgment? Why is the land falling through? Why is it not profitable or prosperous to anymore? In verse 13, the Lord answers and says, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Jeremiah pleaded with Israel and Judah to return to God from their backslidden state, but they refused. Jeremiah was torn between proclaiming what he knew that God had the rightful, that was rightful or justified anger against the children of Israel. He knew that the children of Israel had, or the Israel and Judah had done the sin that they were being judged on. But he was still torn because he had compassion for them. He had mercy for them. He did. But he encouraged them. At this time, Jeremiah encouraged the people to put on sackcloth and ashes. You know, God needed to see that they were remorseful for the sin that they had committed. He needed to know that they were sorry for what they had done. And even now, at this late point, Jeremiah felt and believed that if the people would just repent, the Lord would forgive them, and the conqueror that he was going to send to destroy the land, he would withhold it. But of course, even though people know sometimes that what we sow, we're going to reap, and we know that we've sown seeds that were not good for us, we still sometimes won't repent. And that's how it was here. You know, as Israel had loved God. And when you leave a faithful marriage or an adorned relationship, an ordained relationship that God had with Israel to go to something else or to someone else, it's not going to be successful. What they didn't realize was that God had rejected the people that they were following, that they were going after, because they followed, they worshiped other gods. So God was not going to honor that relationship. So we can't leave an ordained relationship that was designed, that was set up by God to go to someone else. They had a everlasting father, a father of refreshing waters, and they followed someone who was not going to be able to give them that. They were wayward people. They did their own thing. Israel was even they were even worshiping or sacrificing. That's what I'm trying to say. They were trying to sacrifice or were sacrificing their children, which they knew God had forbade it, but they were doing it, and they were worshiping them and offering them up to gods in high places that were not the Lord our God, which he had already forbade them to do anyway. So they were taking matters into their own hand.
Amen.
Jeremiah identified with the people's suffering as a man of tears. As I said, he was a prophet of tears. He cried often and much for these people because he knew what the judgment that God was going to issue against them. The death scene that was going to be so severe and widespread that the female population at large will be needed in order that lamentations may be made for all the dead. There was going to be so much devastation in the land that the people who were losing loved ones weren't going to be able to just cry enough for themselves. They're going to need help in crying. So as the time went on, Jeremiah saw that there were a few people who were catching on. They were realizing that there's going to be calamity. There's going to be a lot of destruction ahead. And so in Jeremiah 9, 17 through 20, the scripture reads, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women that they may come, and send for the cunning women that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ear receive it, the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentations." So here it is, God is saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been weeping, has been crying for Israel and Judah to come out of their sin, to repent and return to the Lord. But even with his weeping, he felt if he could just cry enough, the people would be moved to change. But the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, we need some skilled women." No offense to you, Jeremiah. Thank you for what you've done, but encourage the people to call for the mourning and the cunning women to cry out, to wail unto God. We know that in most of our churches, women have always, for the most part, they're there to pray. For the most part, you can always find women. And I believe that our hearts are more tender toward God. And as far as crying out and wailing to the Lord, our heart is more tender. I believe we're more sensitive to God's voice. And Amen. So this was, the Lord knew this. So he encouraged Jeremiah to say this to the people. The mourning women were women who were skilled. They were hired at funerals and they received pay to wail. They were there to prompt people to cry, to get your emotions out. And I think about, you know, we don't, in this day and time, for the most part, I don't believe we pay people to come to funerals to cry out. But I recall, you know, being at my mother's funeral, I tried to hold it together. For whatever reason, I felt that I needed to be cool and collected and just hold myself together for my family, I guess the matter was. But what I really needed to do was just let out the grief that I was feeling. So the Lord is saying today that we cannot withhold. We need those mourning women. We need those cunning women that are willing to go the distance, who are willing to get on their knees to cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
For what's going on in our world today. Mourning women, mourning is an expression of our heart when something we value has been taken from us. And so Israel and Judah was in a place where they had lost or left their loved one, their first love. It was not because of his own. The Lord was totally and sold out. The relationship with them was a lasting and healthy one. But when we are drawn away by the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the cares of life, we sometimes get into things that are not of God, and we leave our first love. Not only did Jeremiah encourage the people to call for the wailing women, but he said to teach your daughters, teach and let them teach their neighbors. We are in a time where we need to cry out to the Lord today. When I think about the unjust killing of unarmed Black men and women, when I think about suicide, recently my daughter shared with me where one of her coworkers, she had known for not too very long, very educated, very future-looking, great person, very kind person, committed suicide. And it was hard to accept. And we're saying, Lord, why? What is it that we're missing here? So we want to be mindful. We have gun laws controversy that we're more concerned about keeping a person's First Amendment or Second Amendment right to bear arms as opposed to protecting our children, our people, our country.
Amen.
We also recently heard that a friend of ours, grandson, was killed in that incident that went on in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. I can't remember the exact place, but his grandson was killed there. These things are hitting at home. When we have death in our family, deaths in our churches, death in our community, in our nation, we need the mourning women, not those that are paid or pretending, but who are truly willing to cry out for the people of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Abortion debates, killing, I said, of innocent children, social injustice. We have people that are just blatantly lying in the Capitol to protect someone. They're more concerned about themselves than what's doing what is right. We need women of God to wail unto the Lord with that high pitch, the same type of mourning that you would have when you've lost a loved one. That's the type of mourning, the type of wailing that is needed in our land today. God is calling for us women. We have much work to do. He's saying to us, I need you to move into action. We've already been called. He wants us to move.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. The Lord needs us, women. He needs us today. There is devastation in our land. There is destruction. There is desolation. God needs the mourning women, the skilled women, the women who have gone through something, who knows what it means to call out to the Lord, who knows what it means to wail. We thank God for Jeremiah and his desire and his concern for the people of God. But Jeremiah had an assignment, and his assignment was to preach God's judgment. As women today, we know that if we don't turn back to the Lord, our country is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Mother Rowe prayed for them. We prayed for the nation's capital. We prayed for the men and women of God there to make right decisions. And we know that the decisions they're making, if they're not of God, if they're not in right standing, if they're not righteous, they are going to have to give an account. So we're calling for the women today, every woman on this line who have lost someone that they love dearly, and they can't imagine, and we can't imagine how much that hurt. But we're asking you with that same intensity of that grief that you have in mourning, we're asking you to go before the Lord with that same intensity that we're saying, we need you, Father, to have mercy on this land this morning. So I encourage you, not just now, but always, let's go before the Lord.
Hi, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. And I pray that you enjoyed the message today and that you were blessed by the word of God. And now I ask that you please support this ministry by giving a donation of any amount today. You can make your donation by giving by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is THCOGIC. That's THCOGIC. Or you can go to our website at trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner of our website, and there you can find multiple ways to give online. And once again, a donation of any amount would be greatly appreciated to help us continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that need to hear the word of God. Thank you in advance for your generous support of this ministry. Thank you for tuning in and watching today's broadcast. We trust that you've been encouraged today by the Word of God. You know, God's Word is life-changing. According to Hebrews 4:12, it's powerful, it's alive, and it is active. God's Word will provide you with solutions to your life's problems and challenges, and it will also provide you direction for your life. Psalm 119:105 states that the Word of God is a lamp and a light. Know this, that you can trust the Lord and you can totally lean on His Word and stand on His promises. We invite you to praise and worship with us at True Holiness Church of God in Christ. We have morning prayer on Sundays at 8 a.m. and our morning worship begins promptly at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. On Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., we come together as a body to study the Word of God at our Bible study. Once again, I just thank you for joining us today and listening to today's message. More information about our church can be found on the internet at www.trueholinesscogic.org. Thanks again for watching today's broadcast. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.